Welcome to Centered, the podcast that celebrates the journey of faith-filled parents. I'm Andrea Camacho, a homeschool mom, widow, and the owner of the Center School of Dance right here in Cookeville, Tennessee. In this podcast, we explore the beautiful journey of intentional parenting where faith, love, and dedication intersect. Whether you're seeking to support your child in their passions and activities, help them foster friendships, or instill godly values within your home, you're in the right place. Together, let's navigate the beautiful chaos of parenthood and cultivate a home centered on faith, love, and purpose. Hello and welcome to today's episode. This is our faith-filled episode, which means I don't have someone I'm interviewing. I'm just going to be sharing with you a little bit about what's on my heart, what the Lord has put on my heart, and the devotion themes from our Centered community. So this year, we always set a theme for the whole year, and our theme for this year has been Known by Name. And that actually is the name of our concert. So it's the theme of the whole show that you'll be seeing here at the end of April and the middle of May is being known and being known by name. And when we decided on that theme last summer, we were really writing out our devotions in our classes monthly. Students do devotions. And honestly, second semester, we've been more focused on concert. So we'll be diving back into those again. But with our devotion themes, we've been really focusing on how we can know God by a thousand different names. So we had the opportunity to partner with Peachtree Learning Center and Stephen Street School of Performing Arts, and they played the music our students danced for this huge production in the park in the fall. And it was to the song, A Thousand Names. And that kind of inspired the whole theme this year because it lists all these beautiful names of God. And so what we wanted to really highlight for our community this year is that we serve a God that wants to know us and that we can actually know him in all of these ways. And so that has played out in, yes, our devotion themes. If you're at the studio, you'll also see the boards we have where we have little Polaroid pictures of all the dancers with their name. It's been kind of a culture initiative to know people by name and to greet them by name when they come in, which is always our goal as a team, to know people's names. But it has kind of spread a little bit more in that we want to get to know people because we all have that human need to be known, to be understood, and to connect with people. And dance does that for people. Any activity, any family we're a part of does that. But I think if we're truly honest, sometimes we're putting unrealistic expectations on our friends, our families, our partners, to fully know us in a way that really we can't be known by another human being, that we can only be known by the Lord. So one of my favorite lifetime verses is Psalm 139, and it talks about how you have searched me and you know me, that you know when I sit, you know when I rise, you understand my thoughts. And so we serve a God who longs to know us. There's a quote by Zach Reese that says, God didn't create you so that he could use you. He created you so that he could know you. And so we're not just a tool to be used. We are not just here trying to please or do enough right. And I love that in the sense of the dance space as well. We've talked with Miss Lauren about the importance of being relational and knowing your students in that dynamic in a healthy classroom. We also recently talked with Shirley about that importance in parenting of really getting to know your child and building relationship. And so when everything comes back to relationship, I also think that is super important for our approach to faith, to know that it's not about doing the right thing, that it's not about measuring up, that we really serve a God who longs to know us and who wants to be known. And that's something in one of our productions we do, I preach a sermon, that we've recently talked about how he's also like a stranger, that he desires to be pursued. He desires for us to know him. And so, yes, we can know him by a thousand different names, but he also calls us by a lot of beautiful names. And I think it's so important for children. Many times we lose sight as adults, but especially children and youth, and when they're in that teen age years, that we lose the ability to know who we are and what we think about ourselves. And so to remind not only ourselves, but our children that he calls us loved, that he calls us precious, that he calls us forgiven, that he calls us whole. And I had this story with my son the other day. Many of you know I am a widow. I've been widowed about 2 years. So I'm going to pull some of that journey into this because I know so many in the community find it helpful to just navigate and see how someone else has navigated kind of those hard times in life. One of the things we deal with in the widow community, or that I've heard, is that children sometimes can idolize the parent that has passed and then have a really hard relationship with the parent that stays, because the parent that remains, we're just trying to do our best. And so obviously it's easier to take out your anger, your frustration on the parent that remains. So not only am I really thinking about how can I intentionally parent my child to become an awesome man of God without a father figure in the home right now, I'm also like, how can I preserve this relationship and not become one of those statistics where he just ends up resenting me and idolizing his father? So we were in the car the other day and we've hit double digits, which I don't know. It feels like it's preteen years already, but he is mad at me about something. He's going off on me and nothing I can do is right. And so I'm even talking to him. I'm like, hey buddy, we just had a birthday party you went to. You had so much fun. I'm actually driving right now to fast food, which I don't recommend for all the moms out there. That was not super bright mom moment, but we'd been out of town. So getting him his favorite food, I'm like, what is it that you need from me? What am I not giving you right now? Because I could tell he was just frustrated with me. And when he actually gets to that place where he actually can go inward, he is super wise. And he responded at 10 years old with, I'm sorry, I'm just taking my doubts about myself out on you. And I just loved that level of wisdom from a kid and the honesty. And I said, that's okay. It's actually my job as a mom to remind you of who you are and to remind you of the goodness that's in you. And when I got married, my mother-in-law at my wedding shower gave me this picture of kids dancing, and it's always been by our front door until it just fell off. And I don't know how to use tools, so it's not back up yet. Someone will have to come over and help me rehang it back up. But it was a picture of kids dancing that was a tie back to the first dance that Caleb choreographed at 10 years old. Like, that thing was in him from the time he was little. And she kind of transferred over to me that mantle of speaking life into him and reminding him of who he was. So I even told Aaron, it's my job right now when you're feeling down on yourself to remind you of who you are. And eventually a spouse will do that for you one day too. And it was such a great reminder to me to flash back to that picture, that moment of with my husband and how I tried to do that. But gosh, sometimes that's hard. And I know we're not always perfect in marriage and in parenting, but that reminder of being known. And so I think it's really important, and my encouragement to parents out there today is to have those moments for yourself with your spouse, where there's someone in your life who is your encourager when you've forgotten who you are and why you're doing what you're doing, that can support you. But then to know that our children are going to feel those things. And I think as parents, sometimes we can get really focused on who made you feel this way. You know, like, I'll beat them up, mama bear. But to know they're going to feel that way, and it's perfectly normal and it's perfectly human. And if we can normalize that experience for them and remind them that it's our job to be the ones that are there for them, so they can be open with us about how they're feeling. And to also, as a reminder for me, to look through that behavior where I feel like he's just being angry or he's just being sassy, to kind of really look through that and say, what is it that he needs to know right now about who he is or about who I am, or that our relationship is safe? So the power of knowing yourself and what your name means is so important. And that's the theme we're going to move into here at the studio this month. But I encourage you guys at home to think about what your name means and to tell your children, why did you name them that name? There's a sense of identity that comes from knowing where we come from, who we are. And as parents, we get that privilege of reminding them and instilling in them on a regular basis who they are. One of my favorite stories in names of God is Elroy, and it's from the Old Testament with the story of Hagar and how she ran out into the wilderness. She was running away. She was in the midst of distress and despair, and the angel of the Lord came to her, and she calls the Lord at that point Elroy, which means the God who sees me. And to me, that name of God sums up this whole known by name theme, that in the middle of our despair, when you're running in the wilderness and you feel like no one can see you, and honestly, that's what I hear from my child sometimes too, is nobody loves me, nobody cares about me, which I think is normal for every human person to feel, that is where the angel of the Lord shows up and where she felt seen, and that it was the Lord is the one who sees her. And to know that we serve a God who sees us, who knows the intricate parts of our lives, who knows the hard things that we're dealing with. And part of the grief journey that I've been on is getting used to living myself without that person who sees me on a regular basis, or without that person who knows me and sometimes knew me better than myself. I'm an Enneagram 9, and I don't know how you feel about the Enneagram, but I love it. Like, I spent a lot of my life figuring out who I am and what I actually like and what I actually want. And sometimes my husband was the one who could help me gain clarity around that so much for myself. And so it's been so important for me to surround myself with community and with people who can remind me of who I am, and to spend that time with the Lord. So our story that the collective produces is called The Three Secrets, and it's all about the secret place. And our goal of getting into the secret place, which is that private place of prayer, and you don't actually have to be in a place of like solitude and prayer. This is for the busy mom who's changing diapers and washing dishes, and we're driving in the car and we're sitting in the car waiting on our kids' activities, and we're in the midst of homework, biting our nails, trying to keep our cool. That there's a place of deep down inside going to the secret place where we are known and where we can know the Lord. That this is the foundation of where we can parent from and where we can live from. And that when we engage in this way with the Lord, we essentially become a dwelling place for Him, which means our children and our household, those that we interact with. If you're a dancer, a performer, those that interact with you can actually engage with the presence of the Lord in you, because we've just stolen away in the midst of the secret place. So my encouragement for all of you out there today is to remember who you are, and when you forget who you are, to run to the secret place, to run to the Word, to know that you're seen, you're loved, you're cared for, and then to be that reminder for our children and know that whether they're voicing it or not, those thoughts are probably going through their heads now more than ever. So let's step up and be that person that is their cheerleader until we hand that mantle over to a spouse. And if we are married, if you're married out there, you've got a partner, that's a huge part of that too, to be open with communication when we need to be reminded about who we are from our spouse, but to also be the one who reminds them of the goodness in them, of who they are. That in essence, we can really help meet these core needs of being known and of finding belonging. So stay tuned for our production of The Three Secrets, which is all about the secret place. It's being known. That will be May 7th at the Monarch, and it's actually a fundraising concert for memorial scholarships in my late husband's name, Caleb Camacho, also in one of our dancers that recently passed away, Miss Destiny Heron. So it's limited seating, but it will be the final time we perform The Three Secrets. If you're also wanting to see 1,000 Names, that's a big dance that we've put on with this whole theme of being known by name. Come to our April shows. That big number will be performed at the end of all of those April shows. So come out, see it, and if nothing else, know that you are known and that you are loved.
We have our dance parent tip, is to find something specific to appreciate and celebrate with your dancer. So you're probably around the time where you're watching them on stage or you're about to watch them on stage, and it's always super important as an audience member to find something specific to give praise and feedback for at the end. So that could look like something like, your smile was amazing, or goodness, your lines looked so great, or I really loved how you knew the choreography on this part. But it does so much for the dancer's confidence to have specific positive feedback and things you can celebrate in them. Our dancer fact is light trees. So if you're on stage out in the wings that we talked about last time, dance lighting requires lights that are set up on something called light trees that are off in the wings. And they are these towers of lights. Now, most theater productions don't have lights like this. We do this specifically to shape the lines and bodies of a dancer. So if you're a kiddo getting ready to go on stage, you want to make sure that you don't run into them or touch them because they can get hot. But don't be surprised if you see these tall towers of lights in the wings. They're called light trees, but again, they don't look anything like actual trees. Get those kiddos ready. It's time for our kids connection.
Hey guys, I'm Aaron, and yet again, I have another joke.
Why is it so easy to talk to a dancer?
I don't know.
They always get right to the point.
Yes. We had a riddle last week that was, what has four letters and sometimes has nine? Aaron, do you have the answer of that?
There are four letters in what? And nine letters in sometimes.
Yes, so four letters in the word wet and nine letters in the word sometimes. Our new riddle for you this week, tune in to the next episode to find the answer, is...
It belongs to you, but your friends use it more. What is it?
I don't know. Tune in to the next episode to see. So our family challenge for the week is all about names. We talked about names on this episode. So, kiddos, talk with your parents about the meaning of your name. Why did your parents name you that name? Why did they choose that name, and does it have a special meaning? And if you've ever named something like a pet, do you know why you chose that name for your pet and if it has a special meaning?
And that's it.
If you're interested in getting your child in a dance class, we are currently enrolling for our summer camps and intensives, as well as the school year classes. Our school year classes begin in August and run through May with a big performance on stage at CPAC at the end of the school year. So if you'd like to enroll in classes, head to thecenterdance.com where you can see all of our offerings for ages 2 and up.